years, when I was here, I came without my wife first time, drove down from PA. Rodney and Sherry Fry, we're out of Minot Baptist Church in Minot, North Dakota. And God has called us all the way down south to Argentina, into the province called Neuquén, where we're at. In that province, there's a small town called Illuminé. And that's where we've been working out of the last 11 years. Now, there's no paved roads to get there. You have to travel through the dirt to get there. In a town of about 4,000 people, including the suburbs, a small town. We got there, got started in 2004, building our house. Before we even got to building our house, God worked things out. Above the town, there's a place called Burukichiroi. It's beautiful. People come for fishing and all those things. But we're not there for that. What we're there for are the people. The Mapuche people. A community above the town of 1,500 Native American. As we're coming in town, a missionary went with us, went up top and scheduled with me there, barely speaking Spanish, the first few months I had a meeting scheduled, Bible study, Bible preaching. We started with Hugo and his family and just began loving on them, teaching them Bible, loving them as Christ would have us love them. And before long, Hugo started bringing his friends. And it just went from there, from Hugo to Sergio. That's our house, not even finished yet. And we already have meetings. Sergio, his little baby dies. Little baby. And he says, Pastor, because you've been good to us, would you come teach my people, my family, about Christ? Now, the religious people he had around him at that time, because the baby died, they just assumed it was his fault. And they kind of distanced themselves. But this is then the week of Mother's Day, this last year. Mother's Day there is on the other side of the year. It's in spring. And here you have spring
it's
now.
October.
That was in October. But this was them during that time, his family. And God worked. But in that, his brother, when we first started, Mauricio, was one of the people that got excited. We had a men's meeting, and this group of men within a few months. And then Mauricio took hold and made a profession of faith, his woman Rosa. And because of their profession, we baptized and kept going. As we teach and preach, Mauricio started doing the translation for me, helping me with the Spanish, and then into the native language, Mapudungun. So we're working in two languages. The group grew. We got up to a larger group than what I ever expected. I taught Mauricio and Sergio about soul winning, teaching them how to reach someone for Christ. And I go up that one day to teach on John chapter 3. You know John chapter 3 says about being born of the water, born of the Spirit. I get up there, and they're all yelling, preacher, lady, a problem, hospital, I don't know. We loaded her in the car. We started backing up, and she goes, oh! I knew that sound. I looked at my watch. Oh! 2 minutes. That 45-minute drive. So this little guy was born in my car. And a lot of water on the floor, being born of the water, born of the Spirit. And on that day that I was going to preach that, the little baby was born. That little guy grew up. His years later, Gonzalo grew. And his parents made professions of faith. And they were baptized. And they did something else. Now, I had problems with the first group when I mentioned about marriage. They separated from me because of that. Because I said they should get married. They went ahead. Their parents went ahead and got married. The first group to get married, the civil registry said it was the first in 13 years that he's had to do the paperwork and marry somebody. Since then, both Hugo, the first man, got with his woman. They got married. And Gloria got her man. They got married. And they aren't even part of the teaching these days. But since then, the culture's changed because of one person named Will and one family. Several have now. Little guys, these were my first security squad. The roughest guys you'd ever want to meet. These are their horses. They'd steal cookies in any car, eat them up. They're little guys, rough, rough, rough. We've grown with them through the years, helped them with some clothing. More kind of orphans. Working out in the camp, the family uses them more as servants. But out of these, two of them made professions through the years. They've grown into men. We had a preacher come down. If you ever heard any about the Spanish Bible, it has some difficulties. It's not as clean as the King James, it's clear. And this man, Dr. Gomez, worked that and came down, preached to our people several, and that night, two main professions. But through this all, we just love them the best we can. And then others come and they say, hey, I want my family to know. Unlike here, where you go knocking doors, you try to tell people at Walmart, wherever you are, you tell them about Jesus. They come ask me, will you come by my house? I can't keep up visiting all the homes because of the distance to the homes. I think you have that problem here. People live far apart. So we go, and that man says, come to my house, and his sons and his brother and his cousin make professions of faith. This family, oh my, the Pujals, the meanest, orneriest people in the world. But I got in a little bit of these homes, and out of this picture, there's a group of men, at least five of these men have made professions of faith. The meanest, orneriest people. And you've had some like around here that are mean and all that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, these guys get drunk, fall down, and they whittle their initials on each other's foreheads. They are something. But all about getting the word of God to them, preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel in language they understand, whether it be recorded, a little box that's got the New Testament recorded, Juana Maria. She had that, listened to that, and right before she died, I worked with her in the hospital. And if you've ever seen a chick track, it's got pictures, and I took that track and talked with her. She said, yes, I understand preaching. I understand. And she died on the Lord. Out in the camps, and we go house to house, and then I go camp to camp. The winter camps, they live really rough there, but out there I get to preach and come out. You got to help get the sheep calmed down, get everything in order so you can preach a little bit, and teach them some Bible, and I'll hike 4 hours, different camps. It's that type of ministry. You never know who you're going to find. You got to be ready to teach little kids in your church. You got to be ready to teach an old person who can't read. You got to be ready to teach a young man who knows all about reading. You have to have all your messages ready. I met this Maria and her kids out there the one day. Oh my. And then you move up to the summer camp, up the mountains in the border of Chile. And they're preaching and teaching. Been working with Eduardo. Working with Eduardo and his. Eduardo been with me from the beginning, coming to the men's meetings, listening to preaching for years. His brother, Jose. People just avoided him. He seems to have problems. He has alcohol problems, but some problems. And he one day dropped to his knees when I was teaching him Bible because I got to get saved. And he just started crying and asked Christ to save him. That ended up baptizing him in the river. He brought a horse down so Sherry could be there and took her across the river. I hiked across this on Fridays to go teach him Bible. And he was baptized. Now, this is January, the warm time of the year. We had frost that morning. Get in that water, and I could see the ice that melted up the mountain. Get in there, man, I was cold. And the trout swimming all around us. And he came in there, and oh, well. And then Tarantino. Tarantino and his woman, Gabriella, and his son have been with them. When I hiked up there with the first batch of new Bibles, I hiked up. And you ever run out of air when you're hiking? And I was sucking air. And he comes out of the corner, help me. Get down there and carry some Bibles in. He's been with me for a long time. And then this, I found this camp years ago. I hiked back and talked with a man there. Hilario, a drunk. His woman ended up leaving him not too long ago. And I got to talk with him. He made a profession of faith. And he opened the door for his sons. His sons now. One of them had made a profession. El Nido and his children, and Maria, who was in the other picture, have both asked Christ to save them. So now we start working, teaching them Bible, so they can grow. Why? Well, so they go to heaven. But you know what? When people learn Bible, they start to treat their kids better. They start taking care of the kids. That's something.
That's right.
You can't tell the outhouse from their house by the smell. It's pretty rough. Mm-hmm. Pretty rough. But we work with them and tell them about Jesus now. This kind of ministry runs on a vehicle. Missionaries, oh, we need a new vehicle. No, I don't need a new vehicle. I show you this because I need you to pray for this vehicle. There is a new vehicle to replace this vehicle. Please pray. You talk about parts for a car, we don't get them. We invent things. There's very few imports. So pray for that. Language-wise, okay, we've studied. We've learned some Spanish. Now we have to learn Mapalungo. For English, hello, how are you? Spanish, hola, ¿cómo estás? Mapalungo. Mari, mari, ¿cómo le caíni? So now I've got all this going in my head. This head ain't that big. It's all in there. But we need your prayers for that. Pray for us, the Fries. I got you all a prayer card. Please. Pray for us, the Christ. Pray for the Mapuche people. I'll give you a cliche so you don't forget the same one I gave you 13 years ago. Without us, you're a few fries short of a happy meal. So you pray for us, remember. And pray for the Mapuche people. Please, please, please. Please. Yes, that is a problem. Where we are located is in the center of volcanoes. And the volcanoes go off, the airplanes stop. So we're getting ready to go back in 2 weeks. Pray that no volcanoes go off and cause us problems. We had one go off for almost a year. Airline, the planes didn't fly out of the city near us. We had to go to the big city, get a bus from there, go all the way across country. It's like going from here to D.C. maybe on a bus. At least that far.
Oh, no, more than that.
Is it more than that? So just pray that we can make it home, get back to our people, get back to preach. Any questions? No thoughts? No. The ministry is camp. It's country. I got boots. I just got a new pair of boots for hiking in the brush, in the mountain, hiking in the snow. And she goes with me Sundays. And Sundays we go house to house, but through the week I'm going camp to camp. So that's that. Now, preacher said we can go to, what time did you say? Is that clock working?
7 p.m. Wednesday
night. It's 5:30.
It's 5:30, okay.
Well, 5:30.
I wasn't sure if I was saying 7:30 or, okay. So, I don't want to keep you here all night, but if you give me like 20 minutes, can you do that? I'll preach for 20 minutes. I'm going to preach. Do you want me up there or should I preach here?
No, you either, but
I'll get up there. I don't know if this microphone's on. Is this microphone on?
Is the light on?
Is the light on?
Oh, it's
the light.
Switch it.
Talk. Is that better?
Yes, sir.
Amen. All right. Well, I do appreciate you. You've been so faithful.
Yes.
I remember when I first came, that was... Who is the pastor then? I'm trying to remember now. With a P? Poovy. And there was a missionary who I knew, and I talked to him with him about that missionary. He goes, you know what? That man was bold. I like him. You come. Okay. Praise the Lord for a bold missionary. But what I want to do quickly tonight, I want to talk about how to be victorious. I deal with a lot of demonic things, a lot of battles that you probably wouldn't want to hear too much about, some demonic things. But here it is. Phew, I thought I had a message. But I want to talk about being victorious. You know what it's like to be in the battle. You've seen people come and go. You've seen how hard Satan fights against us here. He doesn't want us to do what we do. But I found and heard a message about this, about being victorious. And it also relates to what we can do to be victorious. And I mean, you battle Satan, he doesn't give up. He's been going at it a long time. He knows how to fight. And what I want us to look at is look at someone who battled him and was victorious. And then we'll go from there. Look in Revelation 12. Revelation 12. And we're going to look at this battle here. Revelation 12. I found that sometimes I get scared. You ever get scared? You're in a battle, you're doing something, and somebody's intimidating you. But I don't need to be. I don't need to be. I just need to be wise. It's a little bit different there. But here in Revelation 12, we have a battle ensues, and I'll just read verse 3 at first. And it says, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, let's drop down. Verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,203 score days. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. A battle raging, a battle in heaven against that dragon. Now we all know who that dragon is, Satan, the devil. And he fought against the angels. It says here that he fought against Michael and his angels, and they fought. Now, I believe you understand we're not those angels. We don't have that power. But what I see them do here, we can do. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get started and see how to be victorious. Father God, I ask you to work tonight in this assembly, in this church, and in this people, in me. Father God, may your word work in me, make me bold, and guide me to do your will as I should be doing, and help me to not be distracted by what I see, but to stand fast and do what you'd have me to do, that we'd be victorious here, and through your power, lead many to you, and stand fast in Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, what did they do to be victorious? What did they do? It says in verse 7 again, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and the angels were cast out with him. Hey, Satan didn't stand a chance. He lost. But how did that happen? I've heard people who are of a Pentecostal persuasion say, well, I set my Bible down, I stood on it, and I rebuked the devil. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. You could go through all the rigmarole, all the motions that you think are important, and you got like Catholics, they'll put a cross on the door or something, and that's supposed to keep Satan out. Down our way, they put a little red string around their wrist, and that's supposed to protect them. And they'll hang red things over their doors. They do all kinds of things trying to keep the devil away. They ought to just look in the Bible and see how to do it. Let's see what happened here. Hey, it's through the Word of God. And it says, verse 10 says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, in the power of his Christ. For the accursed of our brethren, the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Is that the victory we want, right? We want that one cast out, that one that's accusing us, that one that caused us problems. You remember Job, how the devil walked and God said something to Satan about Job and gave him the opportunity to do things against Job. Oh, we don't like that guy. That's Satan that causes us those problems, that has that free reign. But verse 11, now we get to see. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Hey, the first thing is the blood. First thing that you are going to do that's going to give you any kind of victory is through the blood of the Lamb. It's talking about being born again, having that blood applied, the blood of the Lamb. In Genesis chapter 3, when we learned about the first fall, when Adam and Eve ate of that fruit and they sinned, and sin came upon them, and they became sinners, and they were in sin, we know that God went and he made them tunics. He made them a covering. He took and made that covering out of the skin of animals. Something had to die. Blood was shed. And then we learn as God dressed them in that skin, they were to learn something. Something important about the blood of the Lamb. And their son Abel came, and Cain came, and Cain did an offering of the fruit. But Abel gave an offering of that firstling, didn't he? And he gave that offering, and he spilled the blood. He spilled the blood. He understood something about the blood. The blood's so important. And we go a little bit further, and we learn about Noah, and he goes in the ark, and they, through his preaching, the eight souls get in that ark, and they come out the other side, and they do an offering again, spilling blood. And we move on up, and we come to a man named Abraham. And he learned a little more about that. God said, take your son, your only son, And he takes his son up there, and he's ready to go through because he knew even if that son died, that was that chosen son, and that son would live again. But he goes to sacrifice his son, and he raises that knife, and God says, no. God says, I will provide myself. I will provide myself. Hey, that lamb, that blood of the lamb is more than our blood. That's the blood of the Lamb of God, the Son of God. And we learn about Moses and how that the law came, and they learned even more about that blood, and they were given the Passover feast, and that lamb was to die, and its blood was to be shed, and that blood had to be applied, and then death will pass over. If you haven't had that blood applied yet, you haven't even entered into the battle. You can't even begin to fight. It's applying that blood. By John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb. You need to look to that Lamb. You need to apply the blood of the Lamb. Jesus, he went to that cross. He shed his blood and provided a way through the blood of the Lamb. The first thing that needs to happen, see, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. You have to apply the blood. Oh, God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus rose again. Lord, save me. And you apply that blood, and you become victorious in that first battle, that first step. And they applied the blood. Hey, it talks about the blood. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Didn't be victorious? It's going to be through the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony, the word of their testimony. I've heard a lot of people that talk about Jesus but don't always live for Jesus. And you know what? Their testimony doesn't amount to a hill of beans. You've heard this statement, your talk talks and your walk talks. But your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Hey, you could say all you want, but if you ain't living it, nobody's hearing it. Hey, we got to live our testimony. You say you're a born-again, God-fearing believer in Christ Jesus. You need to walk like a God-fearing, born-again believer in Christ Jesus. Amen. It should follow through. It should follow through. I was just rereading and restudying some things, and I got to thinking about Acts. Acts chapter 5. We'll turn there quick, and we'll come back here later. Well, you know the Bible says, and we're going to Acts. Turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. But you know the Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Hey, that's part of your testimony. You should be witnessing. You should be telling people. But I was thinking about this in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, and we have the disciples, and they're testifying, and they're witnessing, and things are happening. Acts chapter 5, verse 18. And we have here, it says, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Now, they were preaching, they were doing the will of God, and they got put in jail. You ever had persecution? Oh, my, I could tell you about some persecution. In the military? Were you in the military by chance, either of you? Military is an unusual place. They talk about everything being just right, but you know what? It isn't always just right. And being that I wasn't saved when I first went in, and we'd persecute them young guys, come in there, and they'd talk, oh yeah, I'm a believer, okay, we'll give you a week, and they'd be in the bars with everybody else. Not too many people stood then. But what happened is I got saved in that group that would persecute the Christians. And I got saved, and I come back, now I'm a Christian. You know what? You reap what you sow. Oh my, the persecution that followed. The things that transpired after. Whew. Well, God worked that out. But here we got these men. They were witnessing. They were preaching. In verse 15, it says, 18, I'm sorry. And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison door and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Hey, they were just put in prison for doing it. They're going to go do it again? See, their walk, their testimony had to match. You're a preacher, you go preach. And you know about Stephen. I was thinking about Stephen. Stephen preached. He preached. Hey, his walk matched his talk. He gave that testimony and he preached. And well, let's just go ahead and turn there. We're close enough. Acts chapter 7. We can start in Acts 6, verse 8, just read that real quick, verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did wonders and miracles among people. Hey, faith, you talk about people being filled with the Spirit, being full of the power of God. It's not about doing miracles and doing odd things. The evidence of people with faith today, preaching with boldness and power. And Stephen, full of that faith, did miracles. Hey, it's a miracle for someone to stand up for their faith anymore. For someone to say, hey, this is what God says, this is what we're going to do. Drop down to chapter 7, verse 55, near the end of chapter 7 there. It says, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfast into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Hey, Stephen preached, and he preached the whole council. He preached exactly what those Jews needed to hear, what those Hebrew people needed to hear, and they didn't like it. So that mean he stopped preaching and walked away? No, he just kept preaching. He just kept preaching until he could see God. What a way to go. Preaching the gospel and then see the Lamb of God, the gospel fulfilled there. I read 56, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Stephen, calling upon God. Hey, he preached his testimony, his walk, his words, everything, his action, everything showed the most important thing, the gospel of Christ. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Whew. Hey, the third thing in this, the third thing, go back to Revelation. Revelation chapter 12. To be victorious, apply the blood. Verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. To be victorious, apply the blood and your testimony. And by the word of their testimony and what Stephen did. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Stephen, he didn't say, oh, sorry, I'm sorry. I won't say that anymore. Never mind, I'll just go home. No. He loved not his life unto the death. And the things that I've learned in the time I've spent in this ministry as a missionary, through your prayers, through your support, there's been times where I was scared. I didn't know what to do. And the Pajals, I talked about the mean ones, they got two of them. Well, there was three of them. I went in the house to visit one of their brothers that has epilepsy, and he's laid down on a mat. And I go in that room, and I talk to their brother, tell him how I'd like to help him and like to teach him Bible. Well, while I'm talking to him, three of them gathered in the doorway. Two of them stood at the door. When I stood up to leave, they blocked the door and just smiled, wouldn't let me leave. And one of them comes up, Roberto, and he gets in my face. He goes, preacher, come here, you're going to drink some tea with me. And he sits me down on a stump. You don't use chairs, you just roll up a stump. Sits me on the stump, and he gets nose to nose with me. He goes, so preacher, what are you going to do? Well, I didn't know what to do. So I went to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Where, hey, the wages of sin is death. When I got to 6:23, you're going to die, Roberto. And 3:23, for all have sinned, Roberto, you're going to die. You're a sinner, Roberto. You want to know how to go to heaven? Uh-huh. Hey. Call upon Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, Roberto. And I gave him a John of Rome. I said, you want this? He goes, I want that. And he ripped his shirt trying to get that John of Romans in his shirt. He's under the understanding he had to get it to his heart. Trying to push the John and Romans to his heart. And I look up, now these two guys that were blocking the door step back. They smiled and let me out. Oh, my. But when you don't know what to do, it's simple what you need to do. You need to tell them about Jesus. Love not your life unto the death. Now I'm still alive, so I haven't gotten where Stephen was. But it talks about that in the victory you apply the blood. It's the blood of the Lamb.
Right.
Being born again. It's a testimony. They live their testimony. They talk their testimony, and they followed through with their testimony. It's true to them. And then they don't fear death. Now I know I'm a coward. I'm afraid of a lot of things. I get scared. But I've found that if I just do the right thing, it's not up to me. The thing that I have learned, if someone's got their knife and they're heckling you and they're being obnoxious, and there's usually more than one person when that's happening, just turn your back on them. Because if they're going to kill you, you don't want to see it. So you just witness to the other one that's not so cantankerous. But hey, love not their lives of death. You've read this verse, Matthew 16:25. Matthew, it's in the New Testament, the first book of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 16. And verse 25. It says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall save it." That's pretty clear. If you're preoccupied with your life, you hear, I don't know how much prophecy you hear, people preaching prophecy, talking about end times, and I got a lot of friends that have got all tied up in end time prophecy and end time diets and I don't know, all kinds of things. And they're closing out their bank accounts and they're buying this and they're storing up beans and romaine noodles and all these things, getting ready for end times. Well, I don't know. If the end time comes, I still got to live by faith. The end time comes, I'm still going to preach Christ. I found it's just easier to use my energy up preaching Christ. And if the end time comes, the end time comes. It's just the way it is. Don't get preoccupied with that. And I've been telling people recently, I've been hearing this, every time you come back to the States, after a few years, things change. And I don't know what happened in the last 2 years, but I come back now, everybody's got an AR-15 rifle and they're all armed to the hilt. So what are we going to do, kill everybody? No. We're supposed to be preaching Christ. Love not your life unto the death. It's about witnessing and being effective in that. You want to be victorious? You want to be victorious?
Hey.
The blood of the Lamb. You want to be victorious? Testimony. A true testimony. You want to be victorious? Don't be so preoccupied with your life. Be preoccupied with Christ. And then you're victorious. That's short, and I don't want to keep you real long, but I just wanted to share that with you. I'm going to close with one more. I met a man a few years back, and he came and preached for us. I showed you his picture, Humberto Gomez. This Bible I use in Spanish, it's called the Reina Valera Gomez, because he invested his life in bringing Spanish-speaking people the complete counsel of the Word of God without a few words dropped out, without the meaning changed. And he gave his life for that. You know, it's not free when you give your life for that. It's not just going to go and everybody's going to give you a big hug and say, thank you so much for bringing me the Word of God. You know what happened? Satan broke loose on him. Somebody got a hold of a letter he wrote saying, he had at that time $30,000 saved up to have Bibles printed. And he saved up $30,000 and got it on the internet. So the bad guys in Mexico, you've heard about them killing people in Mexico, the gang wars on the border. They found out he had $30,000. So what they did, they showed up, they took his nephew, kidnapped him, beat him up, kept him for a week with no food or water. And they said, Dr. Gomez, you got $30,000 for Bibles, you'll give that to us and you'll save the life of your nephew. If not, we kill him. And then he gets that $30,000, and in order to give it to him, he had to send somebody from his family to go give them that $30,000 to get his nephew. So his son stands up and says, Father, I'll go. You want to hear a man preach John chapter 3, verse 16, you ought to hear Dr. Gomez preach it. Because he had to send his son to the bad guys to free his nephew, not knowing if they're going to do it or not. And he did it. The last time I was with him in Paraguay. I was with him in Paraguay, and when we were having a meeting, they went from 100 people in the church to 200 people in a week. And it wasn't the pastor out knocking doors. It was the people got excited, and each person brought somebody every night. Somebody new. And those people were getting saved. And by the end of the week, the church doubled just from the people getting excited. You know, you're going to have a week coming up. It's going to be exciting. Oh, it might be a little work on you. You imagine going to bed exhausted at night because you did what Jesus wanted you to do. Or imagine just going to bed exhausted because you did what you wanted to do. I'd rather do what Jesus wanted me to do. But Dr. Gomez comes to this meeting to preach, and he's preaching, and then after the meeting's over, he'd sit down, and he'd just sit there and cry. He goes, I just want to die, I just want to die, I just want to die. I'm looking at, what is wrong with you? I found out. They just took the man that he went and did most of his ministry with, traipsing up and down the mountains, visiting, preaching, teaching. He started over 50 churches, him and his co-worker, trained over 30 pastors. The man he worked with through the years, they just kidnapped him, brutally beat him, killed him, took pictures of his body and sent them to the man's wife. No reason, no statement, just because Dr. Gomez went in prison and led 50 people to the Lord that used to work in the drug trade, and those people got saved for real and separated and gave up on doing drugs and working that life. So they killed a man. Just shortly before that, he had a lady that worked at Sunday school that would teach the little kids. They just came and took her. No words. They never sent word, never sent for a ransom. They just took her. Never saw her again. So what are you going to do? Just quit? He doesn't quit. He just keeps going. He's preaching. Oh, my. He just loves the Lord. And it's all we can do. You want to see something happen here. We're in Ringgold. I'm not sure if we're in Danville. I really don't know where we are. In South Boston. I get so confused. You want to see something happen here? You want to see this building get too small real quick? Let's just apply the blood of the Lamb. Live the testimony that we know we have. And love not our lives unto the death. It's that simple. Let's pray. Let's close. Father God, I do love you. I thank you so much for giving your son and giving us the examples we have in your word. Please work in us with your spirit, with your power. Use us mightily in this week to come to rest us and give us direction and focus. Help us to pray with power and then to go out and witness and invite people. And if we have to drag them here by their ears, just help us to get the people here for the preaching. We pray this in your name. Amen. Preacher.